Hello, welcome to a hockey interview edition of Two Sports Nuts. If you've been listening to our podcast over the last year or so, you know we follow Idaho Steelheads hockey, the ECHL, and about a month and a half to 2 months ago, we talked about some conversations that may or may not have been happening with the ECHL and the now defunct CHL. We were able to get Joe Babick, who is the Director of Communications for the ECHL, on today to talk a little bit about what has happened over at least the last 48 hours. The Central Hockey League, the CHL, no longer exists. The seven active teams that were part of the CHL, the Allen Americans, the Brampton Bees, the Missouri Mavericks, the Quad City Mallards, the Rapid City Rush, the Tulsa Oilers, and the Wichita Thunder applied for and were accepted into the ECHL. So now there are 28 teams in the ECHL, no more CHL. And Joe, first of all, take us through the last 48 to 72 hours, the whirlwind of press releases and plane rides and all that, that the leagues had to go through, just getting all this together and ready to go.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John. It certainly has been an interesting few days, but at the same time, it's exciting. You know, we're obviously up against the start of the season here next week. Training camp's already underway, but you know, we're certainly excited to welcome these seven new members and markets into the league, and it's gonna be a great season, and really looks good for the future of minor league hockey.
It does, and one of the goals of the ECHL, whether stated or implied or what have you, was to always try and get a 1-to-1 ECHL to AHL to NHL, a lot like we see with Major League Baseball. And obviously at 28, you're a couple of teams short, but you know, much better of a 28 versus the 21 teams you had, you know, last Friday, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that would ultimately be the goal, obviously, if we could have one ECHL affiliate for each NHL and AHL team. You know, whether or not that happens next year, 2 years, 5 years down the road, I think that's obviously the ultimate goal. But, you know, I think the important thing right now is just being able to stabilize hockey in the seven markets that are coming into the league. You know, there's some great cities, some great buildings, some great fan bases who now have a stable home and, you know, have some structure to be able to have some great futures here in the ECHL.
Why right now did these discussions really start to pick up? I'm now going into my seventh year affiliated with the Idaho Steelheads. There had been talk and rumors and conversation amongst different people that, hey, wouldn't it be great if the CHL and the ECHL were to get together and kind of pool their resources? Why now, as you said, with the season right upon us, was this a good time for the ECHL to accept the applications of the CHL teams?
Well, I can't go into too much detail on that, but just the way it worked out with getting the applications in, the timing-wise, it had to happen this way, and it had to happen now. And, you know, as our Commissioner Brian McKenna said in the press release the other day, there's certainly some challenges here in the short run, but in the long run, long-term future, it's going to be good and it's going to be exciting.
The one thing I need to be clear of, and I talked with Will Henneke a little bit, the PR man for the Idaho Steelheads, and you know, when all the reports started hitting out in the social media, which I know you are not a big fan of some of the reports, but that's neither here nor there. I sent him a text. I said, hey, what's going on with this merger? And his response to me, and you know, I know it's jokingly because I know Will and you know Will, said if you mention that to Joe, he will throat punch you. this is not a merger. And I think that's the one of the big key points that I think needs to be made is this wasn't the CHL and ECHL getting together. Essentially, one league had ceased, and now the whole expansion application process had to take its course.
Yes, exactly. It's very similar to what happened when the Steelheads and the other former West Coast Hockey League markets came into the league back in 2003. You know, the league ceased to exist that they were playing in. It dissolved, and the Steelheads and the six other teams out west filed membership applications and were accepted as expansion teams, and it's the same thing here for these seven teams. You know, their league no longer exists. They are coming in as expansion teams, and, you know, there's some teams and cities who have, you know, long histories in the Central Hockey League. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, they're starting with a clean slate here in the ECHL with us, with their membership and team histories. And, yeah, it is not a merger. I don't know how many times I can say that. You know, it's been a frustrating 2 months or so following along on social media and whatnot. But I think we've done a very good job of stressing that here over the last 48 hours. It's not a merger. They came in as expansion teams, and we're certainly excited to have them.
Clearly the one big difference between a true expansion team in terms of a team that, hey, let's go put a team, for example, out in Seattle where they start up from ground zero. These seven teams, they come in with a fan base. The arena is already there. They already have structure around it. That's got to be an advantage for these seven cities to join the ECHL, and certainly a selling point when they sat down with their applications.
Oh, no, for sure. You know, Wichita and Tulsa have been playing minor league hockey for over 20 years. You know, Brampton's had an Ontario Hockey League team for a while. Their second year in a pro market, Kwatsky, has been around for quite a while. And then you have a couple of newer markets, for instance, in Rapid City and Allen in Missouri, where the cities and the areas there have really taken to the team. So, you know, they are expansion teams, but really in name only. You know, as you said, they've been around for a while. They have strong fan support, good front office, and, you know, in a way, players to build off from last year with, you know, guys who may be returning or whatnot. It's not like, you know, our other expansion team coming in here in Indy. You know, they were announced around this time last year and getting a coach and staff and players in place. You know, they are really starting from scratch as the true quote-unquote expansion team, whereas these seven teams, yes, they are expansion teams, but as I said, really in name only.
What happens with the players that were with the teams when they were with the CHL? The players at the time, again, were going, you know, a month or so ago, signed some sort of a CHL contract, I would assume. Now they're part of the ECHL. Do these teams not have to re-sign all these players? Do they get to grandfather the contracts? And how does that work logistically for those specific teams?
Yeah, there's no grandfathering. Everything needs to be signed, you know, on an ECHL contract and following ECHL rules. The Central League has some different rules as far as salary cap and veteran limit and whatnot. You know, all those seven teams must fit in under ECHL rules. So any player they had signed to a contract in the Central Hockey League must sign an ECHL contract. They have to meet the veteran requirements, which was 6 players in 300 games in the Central Hockey League, but now they must meet the ECHL rule, which is 4 veterans at 260 games. They have to meet our salary cap. So anything that was signed, you know, prior to October 7th needs to be redone and fit under ECHL rules and guidelines.
One of the logistical challenges right off the bat, at least in terms of maybe how a fan will look at it, is, hey, there are 7 new teams that joined the league. How does the schedule work out now? If you go back to the ECHL last year, San Francisco was a team that unfortunately was unable to finish out this season. The ECHL scrambled, put a schedule together towards the end of the year for the Western Conference teams and finagled with the playoffs a little bit on that front. Are we expecting to see these 7 new teams find games with the ECHL teams that were presently there before October 7th, or are they going to play themselves? Or is this something that, as a league, you're still trying to find maybe a game here, a game there to help expand them out a little bit?
Well, the big issue, I don't want to say issue, but the big thing right now is the Central Hockey League playing a 66-game schedule, the ECHL playing a 72-game schedule. So those 7 teams have to find 6 teams elsewhere, you know, 3 home and 3 away to fill out the 72-game ECHL schedule. So we're in the process here. We've been working on it for the last 2-3 weeks of finalizing a schedule. Hopefully we'll be out Friday at the worst case scenario, Monday of next week. But there will be some games involving the 7 teams with existing ECHL teams. The important thing to note is ECHL teams won't lose any home dates. You know, any home date that's been scheduled will still be there. You know, they may have a different opponent now, but, you know, all the game dates that have already been sold here, you know, group-wise, ticket-wise, since you know, our schedule was announced back in June, will exist. But there will be probably more than I would have expected. There will be a good bit of chance for the new teams, fans, to see ECHL teams, and for ECHL fans to see the new teams coming in as well.
What makes the ECHL so flexible that they can adjust like this? I mean, you look at the NHL and they have to have arenas set up, but they, you know, they have investments in their arenas and they can basically control who comes in and who doesn't come in. The AHL a little bit more so, you know, with the control. The ECHL, I've got to imagine, and I don't know the situation outside of Idaho, and even the situation in Idaho, I don't know that well. arena availability, things like that. Last year, you had to adjust the schedule. This year, you have to find dates or find different things with the schedule on that front. What allows the ECHL to be so flexible and able to adjust their schedule like this, really, at the drop of a hat?
You know, I think it just goes back to relationships. Our teams have, for the most part, pretty good relationships with their buildings, whether they run it themselves, like is the case out in Idaho, or if they're leasing it through a different management company. You know, it just comes back to communication and having good relationship, and I think that's obviously a key to allow changes to happen as time goes on.
The next question, obviously, would be, you had 21 teams at the end of last season. There was a governor's meeting or after-season meetings, realignment amongst those 21, essentially with the Western Conference, you put all the teams except for Colorado into a division. Colorado joined some teams from the Eastern Conference, and you had four divisions. That way, you changed the playoff format. You now add seven more teams into the league. What kind of realignment should we be looking for from the ECHL when all this plays out? Are we going to have a different playoff format? Is it going to be seven teams in each division? What's kind of the idea for the ECHL going forward here with divisional alignment?
Obviously this late in the process with the season starting next week, it's tough to do a huge overhaul. So, what's going to be announced here in a little bit is we will have the four divisions set up, two in the Eastern Conference, two in the Western Conference. Colorado will be sliding over to the Pacific Division with the other teams out west there. The seven expansion teams coming in will form their own division, the Central Division, as the second division in the Western Conference. And then in the Eastern Conference, you'll see Reading and Elmira moving from the North Division to a new East Division with the five South Division teams. And then the other teams who are out with Colorado in the Midwest Division, they'll slide over with Toledo and Cincinnati to form the North Division. So those will be the two divisions in the Eastern Conference. And then the playoff will be the same. It'll be the one through the top four teams in each division making the playoffs. First two rounds will be entirely within the division. And then you'll have the Western Conference Finals featuring the Pacific Division against the Central Division, and the Eastern Conference Finals being the East and the North.
So it'll continue. The playoff format won't change at all. Like you said, it'll be a lot like what the NHL has, where you'll have four teams and they'll play through, and you'll get your Kelly Cup finalists through that way. And I think that's good, because if there's one thing that I think upsets fans the most, or not upsets, but annoys fans, is when all of a sudden the format they were told all of a sudden changes. I know last year it went from a point base to a win percentage base, and that had fans just kind of like, I don't understand this. But I think the fact that the playoffs at least stay consistent, the fans probably don't care too much about the divisions. I think what you guys ended up coming up with is a fairly good solution. So essentially the entire Western Conference from last year will now be playing in one division.
Yes, exactly. You know, it's been a long time since we've had good playoff races throughout the entire league. You know, just with the alignment the last couple of years, you know, it's been 7 out of 8 or 8 out of 9, or in the case last year, as you said, with San Francisco ceasing operations midway through the season, all 8 teams from the Western Conference going to the playoffs, which, isn't obviously the best thing out there. So, you know, now you have 4 divisions of 7, 4 out of 7 teams in each division makes playoffs. So there's definitely going to be, some hair-pulling moments for coaches and players and broadcasters and fans throughout the league. Is now, you know, February, March, the first part of April, there's going to be some, I'm sure, dogfights for that fourth place spot and get yourself into the playoffs.
Yeah, I know as a fan of the sport, I'm looking forward to some of those races as well. Like you said, the last couple of seasons, at least out west, the East has been a mess coming down to the final stretch run. But out west, a lot of the playoff positions were decided fairly early into the year, more due to format than anything else. So it's nice to see that'll change a little bit. With the expansion to 28 teams, I don't know what footing the ECHL was on a national scale. Does this provide a little bit more stability for the league with the expansion?
Oh, no doubt. You know, it obviously is huge to have just the one league now at the AA level. I just think from a recognition standpoint, too, now, you know, if you want to have a AA minor league hockey team, you're coming to the ECHL. So it helps the values of our teams and our members. I think it certainly helps them from that regard. But I just think from a visibility standpoint now, you know, adding some other big markets, Allen being right outside of Dallas, in the Missouri Mavericks playing right outside of Kansas City, and having Brampton playing in the suburbs of Toronto, I mean, that certainly helps for the Toronto media coverage of our league. So I think it's great, and hopefully we'll see some more national and even with Canada, their international media coverage for the league and its players this season.
Do you know if, and I don't know if you can speak for each individual team here, but some of the AHL teams had affiliations within the ECHL, and they also had some affiliations with the CHL. We're not talking a lot of teams, but there were a couple. Will those affiliations hold true? Will that be something that each team will have to figure out on their own? Do you know how that'll work?
Well, it'll just be very similar to, as I said, with player contracts, that anything that was signed prior to October 7th with the Central Hockey League, it just does not exist right now, so anything would have to be resubmitted. So if any American League teams would want to affiliate with any of those seven new teams, they would you know, need to come in under our affiliation agreement that we have between ECHL and NHL and or AHL teams if they'd like to have an affiliation with one of those teams. Just be like if they wanted to have an affiliation with Idaho or Toledo or any of the other teams in the ECHL, they would need to fit that under ECHL parameters.
If it's not the right league paperwork, it doesn't count.
That's
probably the mantra to go. Any questions with what happened to the CHL? If it's not ECHL header, it doesn't matter at all. The one thing that got missed in a lot of this, and again, first of all, I want to say that the ECHL, as far as I'm concerned, maybe because I follow a lot of them, some of the best social media people in sports. I know Bakersfield's always on social media. You're active on social media. The ECHL has a couple different accounts of their own. The ECHL Week. A lot of social media activity for the league themselves, and I think that's great to see. I only really picked it up on a couple of levels. The one important thing is, yes, the veteran rule changes that now everyone's going to have four. So if you look at it from the CHL perspective, you're going to lose essentially two veterans per team. But think of, and I'm sure the Players Association loves this, how many jobs were saved or are able to continue? Because I don't know, and I don't know if you would know what would have happened to the CHL at all, but the fact that, you've expanded, you've allowed these players to keep, playing hockey, so many jobs were able to be saved because of the allowance of the applications.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, that's certainly an important point here as well. Obviously, we lost San Francisco midway through the season, Las Vegas with its arena issue right now, not playing this year, and there were a couple, three other teams that played at the Central Hockey League last season who ceased operations since the season ended. So certainly important from that perspective, from the hockey-playing world, to be able to keep those seven teams playing and, as you said, keep the jobs. And like you said, the PHPA and the players, I'm sure, are certainly happy that they were able to keep that going.
You mentioned Las Vegas. They suspended operations. They haven't folded. They are still, I don't want to call them a shadow team. I don't know the best way to describe them. They're still part of the ECHL. Is that the best way to describe it right now?
Yeah, they have all the, they're still a member of the ECHL. They have all the rights associated as far as voting at Board of Governors meetings and everything else. They just aren't not icing a team this year. And obviously the hope is that they'll come to an agreement with an arena, with a venue out in Las Vegas here very soon, and have an announcement in the next coming months that they'll be back on the ice a year from now when the 2015-16 season gets underway.
Is this kind of an expansion, something that could help them get back on the ice for next season?
I don't know. I mean, I think it certainly doesn't hurt. I'm sure that they'd love to get back in. Rapid City isn't that far away from Las Vegas. So some more rivals and new teams maybe to come in. So certainly I think it doesn't hurt the possibility of them getting something done.
To the broader spectrum of hockey, we talked a little bit about trying to get one-to-one, ECHL, AHL, NHL. Generally, what are your thoughts about single-A hockey getting together? Would you have an issue if all of the single-A leagues were to get together and maybe have a 30-30-30-30, almost like a true triple-A, double-A, single-A with the NHL format? Would that be something that, not necessarily that the ECHL would facilitate, but something that you would possibly look forward to if all those teams could get all their acts together and join up?
I mean, I think ultimately it's just for the good of hockey and the good of the sport in general. If you could find enough strong markets to be able to support, a single-A level, I think that would be good. But at the same time, I don't know that those markets are out there. There's been, obviously, over the last 15, 20 years, there's been a lot of attrition in minor league hockey. So, there are markets out there. Whether they can support come back, I don't know. But I certainly don't think it would be the worst thing in the world for hockey if there were enough markets to come up and create kind of a single-A rookie-level type league for some of the guys who, maybe aren't quite ready to step up to the ECHL level. How many guys have we seen, coming out undiscovered from college, major juniors coming into the ECHL? I think a perfect example is a guy you saw out there in Idaho a few years ago, in Kyle Murat, signed an ECHL contract, had 2-3 great years out there, and now he's on the cusp of maybe getting an NHL call-up at some point. And another guy I think of, back to when I first started working in the league back in the early 2000s, Alexander Burrows, came into the league as a rookie in 2002-03 in Greenville, was traded midway through the year to Baton Rouge, had a decent year. Next year goes to Columbia, explodes, gets an AHL deal with Vancouver. A few years later, he's in the NHL, and now he's one of the mainstays of the Canucks. So, the ECHL has been great at providing an outlet for some of the overlooked players. So, I think there's certainly more out there who would be deserving of a look.
Yeah, according to the press release that came out talking about the expansion, 541 players have played in the ECHL, now have played at least one game in the NHL. And Joe, I'm sure that number's gone up just from the fact that now the season's actually started and the official rosters have to be turned in.
Yeah, it's actually gone up today. Bobby Robbins, who played in Bakersfield and Elmira in Chicago, he debuted last night with the Boston Bruins, actually got in a fight in the game against the Flyers. So he's the first to debut this year, and we'll probably have a couple more here this week. There's two other guys who were on opening day rosters. Justin Hoshman is on the opening day roster of the Coyotes, and Andre Nestrosil is with the Red Wings. So those are two guys who haven't played in the NHL before who are ECHL alums. So we had 29 debuts last year, which was the most in 5 or 6 years. And, it would be great if we can get to around 570, 575 by the end of this year, and then we could be staring at the chance of 600 alums at some point next season.
Yeah, the ECHL has really exploded over the past. I think the last lockout that the NHL had really helped the ECHL explode, because everyone's always looking for younger, possibly cheaper talent up at that NHL level. Really, over the past, since I've gotten here, last 6 years, the numbers just absolutely exploded with development from the ECHL moving up to the NHL.
No, for sure. We've seen a lot of that. I think the NHL and the AHL is realizing the value in the ECHL. Would you rather have a guy sitting in the stands in the American Hockey League or getting on the ice in the ECHL? And I think there's a lot of value in getting guys playing them, especially goaltenders. You look at the goaltenders in this league, it's just incredible, the talent level the last few years. Lauren Bressois last year in Bakersfield had a great year. Ryan Zapolsky the year before that in South Carolina. Even though he was on an ECHL contract, you just see the goaltending at this level. It's amazing to think. And I think the NHL teams are realizing that and seeing the value in getting their young players, young prospects, regular ice time in the ECHL.
And real quick before we get out here, I know you have things to get to. The future for the ECHL, we've seen it maybe a little bit in Bakersfield. Bakersfield Condors, they're owned by the Edmonton Oilers, who own through all the levels of minor league hockey, including a junior team, I believe, as well. What does the future hold for the ECHL in terms of possibly, and I'm going to ask you to put on, get the crystal ball and put on your little wizard hat here.
It's not Halloween yet.
I know. We'll get it out of the way a little early. I want to see a picture if you do put a wizard hat on, by the way.
Okay, that's a deal.
With NHL discussions about maybe moving some AHL teams and ECHL teams, are we looking at in 5-10 years where NHL teams possibly do own all the way down through the minor league system, including having 30 teams here with the ECHL?
I don't know that we'll ever see a day where, you'll have 30 NHL teams owning ECHL affiliates. I could certainly see, a couple some here and there coming in. I think the Oilers are a good test case to see how it works in Bakersfield, which is a great market for us. And, if they have success there, I think you could see some other teams looking at that possibility down the road.
And then finally, one more question about the AHL, talking about the realignment. Obviously, you don't know what's going on in the AHL offices in the least. Does a move where you're able to expand your teams like this, if they shift a lot of teams and if they come calling for some of the current ECHL teams, does this help set you guys up to not have to worry about a situation where there aren't enough teams or travel costs become too prohibitive to continue playing?
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at, I think the travel costs are pretty good right now. You know, we have a good bunch of the teams out in California, now in the central area with Allen, Tulsa, Wichita, Missouri. You know, Quad City kind of fits in nice with the Indy, Evansville, Fort Wayne, Cincy, Toledo area. The five teams down south are pretty close together. So I think it is key to have teams, you know, kind of bunched together to kind of conserve travel costs and allow teams to kind of keep the budget where they need to go to have long-term success.
You've been listening to an interview with Joe Babick, the Director of Communications for the ECHL. We're talking about the expansion, adding seven teams formerly of the Central Hockey League, now with the ECHL, 28 teams in the ECHL. And Joe, I know you have a bunch of stuff going on. I really appreciate you taking out the time, and best of luck this season with everything in the ECHL. And hey, if you're ending up in Idaho, I'm sure you'll give Will a call. Just make sure I'm around.
Oh, will do, John. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, Joe. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Yep, you too.